On this edition of Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland, we delve into our archives to pay tribute to cornetist, jazz historian, and author Richard Sutalter, who passed away in September 2008. Richard was a great friend of Marion and a Piano Jazz guest on several occasions. In this program from spring of 2000, Marion and Richard celebrate the life and music of Bix Beiderbecke, about whom he wrote a book entitled Bix, Man and Legend.
Rich, it's great to see you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and of course anything that has to do with Bix is just fine with me. He was the original inspiration for my entry into the jazz business and has been for many, many people throughout the years.
When did you write that landmark book, Bix, Man and Legend? It was a big book.
A little before our time. That was, you know, do you realize it was a quarter century ago, in 1974.
Wow. Because I got a lot of information about Bix from that, but mostly from Jimmy, as you can imagine. Jimmy, my husband, having replaced Bix in the Wolverines, and he always had these little tidbits to tell me about what Bix said to him. And, you know,
well,
it's just...
He was, after all, Bix's major admirer and acolyte and a good friend as well. So that I think Bix remained a bright and guiding star for him throughout his entire career.
You know, when I think about it, Bix was with so many different bands in his short life, and we're still hearing like those little gems that he did with, for instance, Paul Whiteman's band. How long was he with that band?
He was with Whiteman actually only for a couple of years. Before that, he was with the very famous Gene Goldkett Orchestra in Detroit. He spent about a year and a half with them. And it was with those two groups that I think his reputation spread as widely as it was going to be able to do in those days.
It's sort of funny to me that Paul Whiteman was known as the king of jazz.
Well, it's not so surprising when you think that the public understanding of the word jazz in the 20s was any popular music that was peppy enough to dance to and anything surrounding that. The idea of what we later came to call jazz was not something the general public even knew anything about. Musicians in the know called it hot music or just hot. If a dance band played at a ballroom, you'd say, who plays the hot? Who's the hot soloist?
Oh, who's the hot soloist? Yeah, yeah, right,
and,
right.
And it was that sort of thing, so the musicians knew who the guys were. But if somebody in an F. Scott Fitzgerald piece talked about the jazz age and, you know, the jazz craze, this was not really necessarily anything to do with the music itself. So, you know, somebody suggested once that a better title for Whiteman would have been King of the Jazz Age.
I guess it might have been. You know what's wonderful? That we're going to play some of the things that Bix liked to play, and we've got some great musicians here as well as you. We've got Howard Alden on guitar and Bill Crow on bass to do the music proud. And I would love to hear us play some of it. So what do you say we kick off one of the good old tunes?
Well, especially one that Bix liked well enough to have recorded twice with the Wolverines in 1924 and again with his own gang 3 years later in 1927. That's the Jazz Me Blues.
Oh, great.
One, two.
started at Lake Forest Academy he went to, didn't he?
Well, no, he was born and brought up in Davenport, Iowa, which at that point was a very prosperous kind of middle-class community directly on the Mississippi River.
1903.
1903, that's right. And had your standard American boyhood at the time. If you read Booth Tarkington and Mark Twain and various people, you get an idea of what the Beiderbecke world must have been like. But as he became interested in the new music, which was kind of tantamount in those days to a kid getting interested in rock and roll today, I suppose, his parents, who were extremely traditional folks, took a rather dim view of this, especially as regarded its effects on his studies, you know.
Yes, and of course.
They shipped him off, finally, to Lake Forest Academy outside Chicago, where at least presumably he would receive greater disciplinary control and have to really buckle down to his studies. Of course, it was a lunacy because Lake Forest was only a quick transit ride from the hotbed of hot music downtown Chicago.
Sure.
So they couldn't have chosen, in their eyes, a worse and in history's eyes, a better place to send him.
And, of course, that's where he fell in with people like Jimmy McPartland.
Yeah, or they with him, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because as Jimmy once told me, and it really has stuck with me through the years, he said, we always looked upon Bix as a little mysterious because he was so preoccupied, he was wrapped up in this little musical world of his own, and he never quite seemed to be there when you were talking to him. He was always thinking of something else, and that enhanced the aura of almost something mystical about him.
Yeah, I mean, it was really sort of being perpetuated into this kind of legend of mystery, which it still goes on today.
Sure.
About him. What else can we play? There's a million tunes to choose from. What do you think would be a good one?
Well, one of Beiderbecke's wonderful associations, probably the most important one, was, of course, with the C Melody saxophone player Frankie Trumbauer. And together, they made a series of records in 1927, which are still unsurpassed for being embodiments of the kind of music they represented. This next tune, which bands, generally speaking, take at a racehorse tempo, they took at a much more leisurely tempo, which is very smart because it brought out elements of the song that nobody dreamt were there. I'm talking about Way Down Yonder in New Orleans.
Who wrote that song, by the way?
I think it was Henry Creamer and Turner Layton, no? And I'm sure that if it's not, you're going to have a barrage of collectors and historians calling up and saying, you should know that somehow.
Yes, well, we get that all the time.
Of course.
Well, let's have at it.
Okay.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.